It's about crying. It could be. So we're rolling. We're rolling. And we're live in now. Hello. I'm Connor.
I'm Aaron.
And this is Talking About It. Season 1, Episode 5. It's a 5-part series, and this is the 5th.
The finale.
Do you want to tell our viewership what the show is about? I've been doing every fucking
thing. Yeah, this guy always has to introduce everything because it was his concept. today, coming full circle from the first episode where we talked about small talk and such, today we are going to get into deep conversations.
Yeah, because this is a show about, like, how to have a conversation and thinking about how to interact with people using sort of cutting edge, like, technology. And by cutting edge, Instagram.
And text
and what have you. So, we started off with, like, texting, flirting, making small talk with people, and the goal of those conversations is play. And you get to know someone, you maybe watch movies with them, you pick movies, which we talked about for the past 2 episodes. And now we're going to get into deep conversations where the goal is different. What would you say the goal of a deep conversation is?
Well, I think usually when you get into a deep conversation, it doesn't usually come totally out of nowhere.
You know? Someone, you think... Oh, I mean, obviously. If someone, like, if you have a deep conversation, that means there's something that needs, important that needs to be said.
Yes. And so, usually, I mean, what I actually like a lot about deep conversation is that usually the goal is stated, like, right up front. Because people have a tendency to honestly, like, ask for your consent before launching into something that's going to be pretty serious.
So, what's an example? What are you thinking of?
You know, you're just talking with a friend and you just like caught up and you guys have joked around for like 5 minutes or something. Mm-hmm. And then they turn to you and they're like, hey, like, I don't mean to bring down the mood, but
yeah.
And they kind of just like put it on to you and you're like, no, this is fine. Like, this is why, like, we're friends.
What do you need to say?
And then that's when they just kind of launch into it right there. But usually before getting super into, you know, an important conversation, especially about things that might be not the most, like, fun to talk about. Mm-hmm. You know, there's usually that, like that pause for consent that you don't really get from other conversations. People don't really ask if you're allowed to talk about things unless it's something that, like, might affect you negatively or if you're, like, not in the right headspace for it.
Yeah. I'm just, like, I'm thinking of scenarios where, you know, oversharing is a thing.
Yes.
Where someone can come up and they're like have something that they need to divulge on you and you are not available.
Did
for
not
that.
Sign up for this. Usually when people are oversharing, it's not, I don't think that falls into the same category.
Okay, yeah. You know? But has everyone ever like come out of nowhere and dumped some heavy ass shit on you?
Yeah.
That you were not prepared for?
Yeah. And yeah, usually, to be honest, I can stop what I'm doing and, like, give my full emotional attention to someone unless I'm not sober.
And then, which is fair, too. Which is good, because then you can say, like, hey, I'm like, I'm too drunk for this right now.
Yeah. If you need to talk, like, I will be the warm body for you, but you're not going to get great response from me.
Okay, I'm going to tell this story because we're talking about deep conversations and I'm going to like change names and shit, but it's a good story. And I may have told you this one because I've been telling it a lot recently.
Well, I am sober and listening.
Yeah, basically, you know, in college, night of partying, you know, just getting drunk, hung out with a friend who will remain nameless and ended up like... It's 3 a.m. and we're talking in his room and like I'm crying because we're like talking about heavy shit and just like our personal lives. And he like, I forgot what I was telling him to, but I'm just weeping. And he puts his hand on my shoulder and he says, Connor, Like, I know you're crying really hard right now, but I definitely want to have sex with you.
Whoa!
And I was crying, and I looked at her, and I was like, I can't do that right now.
For so many reasons.
And he's like, yeah, it's fine, it's fine. At least let me give you a butt massage.
No!
It was crazy. That was a crazy night.
So...
So this is true, which is why I'm allowed to say it.
So did you? I mean, technically, he did ask you for consent for sex. Did you ask him for consent to get into this conversation?
Yeah, because we had been talking the entire night and we'd been having a heart to heart, so it felt like safe and like I wasn't out of the fucking blue on this one.
Well, I apologize on his behalf. And for the entire gay community. No, that's... I mean, that's really shitty to think that, you know, someone has been, like, listening and...
No, it was fine. Like, I understood because we were on the same emotional plane, and I could see how that could be sexually cathartic.
And you realize that you're at your sexiest when you're crying.
I mean... I won't get into when I know I'm sexy, but it's often.
Well, I'm sorry that happened. That is...
No, but like, I guess the point is like, it's a funny story, but you also have those moments where it's like, it's 3 a.m. and all that you are having that conversation and you're level with someone and you are having deep ass talks. I used to think that the deepest conversations could only happen when you were drinking in like the dark recesses of a bar because no one's listening and also you're not afraid of being judged. Because I think that's one of the biggest, like, the reason that we're afraid to talk about deep conversations is what if you told someone something that you like really care about and they like and didn't and the person that you're sharing this with doesn't treat it with the same respect that you do.
They don't respond in the way that you thought they would or hoped they would.
There's another strange thing, like once you really talk about the things you care about, because small talk is like fun.
Mm-hmm.
I legitimately love a lot of things. One of them, like, very funnily, like, it's... I like calendars and organization. I love it.
Me too.
And it's... But it's a funny surface-level thing, but if you, like, sit down and you, like, talk to me, and I will tell you how much, like, I look at my calendar and I think about calendars and I read books about, like, all... And it, because it matters so much. And then I feel self-conscious because I'm, like, I feel like I'm... talking about something that you would laugh at.
So I have a question. So this sounds kind of like where it's going, where when the conversation turns from you kind of like joking and having fun to actually talking about something serious, but they don't like pick up on the fact that all of a sudden this is something that's actually like meaningful to you. And
if you are an attentive conversational partner, you will notice the shift.
I agree.
Yeah. And like you can feel it when someone is telling you something important if you're paying attention.
Tone shift, body language.
Yes. It's almost, even you may have had this experience where the palpable, like the air changes almost. That's what it feels like. And this is where it gets like touchy because I just remember all of the stories that I have told people that have been this heavy and I don't think I can share this on the internet like a lot of them, and I'm trying to figure out why. And part of it is because it's just sort of personal and usually a lot of like deep things involve other people.
Yeah.
And so I think that's probably one of the only reasons, but I'm trying to think of something meaningful and deep that we can talk about that doesn't involve that.
That wouldn't bring other people into this.
Yeah. I think that's the problem with talking about deep conversations, because like, what can we draw from as far as like talking about something that matters?
What can be our real life examples for this?
Well, like, could I ask you like what is something that matters a lot to you. This is a big question.
Like, what am I driven by? I think primarily that I am driven by a need to, or at least a want to, satisfy other people.
Right, we're all people pleasers.
But in such a sense, like, there are very few things that I could not be convinced to do if someone was like, I really need you to be there for me. And if you do this thing, like, that'll mean a lot to me. So I don't know, when you ask what matters a lot to me. Like, ultimately, it's
a hard question, and sometimes it's something you have to lead up to.
Like, on my deathbed, what would make me think that I'd lived a meaningful life would be that, like, the moments that I spent with other people, they left that situation, like, either in
somewhat
a better mood or,
right,
or something, you know?
That you brought a positive change into someone's life.
Yeah. I'm definitely all about the moment-to-moment living. I don't think that you need to do, like, huge things to, like, actually have an effect on the world and the people,
right,
around you.
Yeah, I think that's meaningful. And that's deep. And, like, I think it's easier to talk about that if, you know, there's not going to be cynicism surrounding it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's awesome. I mean, I agree with you, and I feel like a lot of people aren't, or would also be in that camp.
It's kind of hard to think of things that, like, what reason are you asking me that question?
The reason I asked you that question, I'm going to bring in something that y'all may have heard of. Have you heard of the 36 questions that lead to love?
No,
it is probably in the, like, I'm guessing, it's one of the most shared New York Times articles ever.
What?
And it was a study where they got strangers to go through a list of 36 questions together that they would ask each other. And each, there were three tiers, and they got more and more intimate or more probing as you went along. So first it was like, where did you grow up? What's your family like?
Are we going to do this?
We could. And then the middle one is like, what's your relationship with your mom like? And then the last one, like, you sort of get into, like, shared experiences. Like, what's something that we have in common? And here's what the crazy thing. Out of these 36 questions, and after the study was, like, done, 80% of the people that participated ended up marrying the person that they had been partnered with.
Shut the fuck up.
This is what the study...
What?
So there's a follow-up New York Times article where a journalist was like, this is bullshit. And so she got one of her journalist friends, and they went through the list in a bar, and they ended up getting
shut the fuck up.
So it's not foolproof. And I think what... I think the purpose of it, and the thing that I take away from it, is that the reason these people maybe got married is because you went through all of the things and managed to create an environment or even a system where you were able to talk about you were able to emotionally level and understand the other person.
Okay.
And understanding someone, like, in a way that feels deep, fosters friendships, and potentially could, like, just foster lifelong friendships by truly knowing someone.
36 questions.
Yeah, I mean, there's an app, too, because people asked for it all the time. They're like, where's the list? Where's the list?
Wow.
I have it saved in my Google Drive.
I want to take a look at this.
Yeah, I'll show
it. If I do it alone, I'm just going to end up marrying myself.
So, fun fact, that podcast musical, 36 Questions... One of my friends from Sarah Lawrence, I think she either wrote or performed it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Ellen Winter, look it up. Shout out to you.
Thanks, yeah. JC.
Yeah. Jeremiah, you are right.
So I have a question then.
Yes.
So going back to all of this, when you get into a deep conversation, you know what's going on.
Yeah.
But overarching question here. What is the goal of a deep conversation? So I'll answer so briefly and then hand it over to you.
Okay.
Because to me,
yes,
when I get into it, I rarely am looking for advice.
Right.
That's you, not why
you
I
just
get
need
into it.
Someone to be there.
And it's and but not in the same way that, you know, we had talked about, like, when you get home from work and you're like, I just need to complain and I literally just need a warm body.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that I need someone just to, like, hear all these things, but I also don't need advice. So what is it?
I'm trying to think of an example. And, like, because examples help color all of this. I had a friend who just I don't know, these kinds of things are hard to talk about. Oh, I remember one. One of my friends called me one day and told me that they had been raped and they were still drunk because it had just happened. And it, like, and there was, I didn't know what to do, and they just needed me on the phone, you know? And so, in that scenario, it's sort of in line with what you were talking about, how it's almost just, like, being a safe presence for them to, like, process through something. Yeah.
Wow. I think sometimes it might be that you need an extension, not of yourself, but like an extension of like a human being. You've lived your whole life like perceiving things only through your own lens to the universe.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden when you talk to someone else about something, you know, you have your own entire perception about it, and then telling it to them, they are basically looking at this from an entire different point of view. So to me, maybe sometimes having a deep conversation is, I don't want my friends to give me advice. I want them to ask me questions that I would never have thought to ask myself.
Like what? Sorry, I'm totally lost and like reliving my shit.
I know.
Damn. I knew it would happen. Now I have to put a trigger warning.
For yourself.
Fuck.
Okay, how would I say this? I had a really intense conversation with Amira and a few other people recently, kind of about introspection and what would cause you to actually like reflect upon things that you've done and things that other people have done, and just kind of like ruminate on intentions and, I don't know, so many things. This conversation came up when we were like, okay, like, so I have a friend, he cheated on his girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
And he's an asshole about it. Like, he knew it was going to happen. I was basically like, you need to tell her that you cheated on her, especially right. If you plan on marrying her.
Oh my goodness.
And she kind of did. So anyway, we were talking about this, and it was basically, would you tell someone that you cheated on them if you did? And it really got into this bigger conversation of, well, if I cheated on someone, I would think about what had led to that, because, you know, there's something, like, maybe it's an unhappy relationship.
Right.
You know, any of these things. And so it's interesting because for me, I don't really get very introspective very, very often, like, at all.
Or reflective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not really.
But then this conversation sort of forced you to consider something that you, like, something important that you generally don't have to think about.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know, maybe the reason I don't think about things too critically too often is because I don't think that, for me, that it, like, adds a lot of value, because I can't really reach conclusions that I can, like, believe and go with. But when you have someone else there, it's not just yourself, you know, running through a chain of events and coming to conclusions. There's another person there. Like, I kind of enjoy conversations that start with, like, am I crazy? And then present an entire scenario to someone.
Right. And that's incredibly valuable to, like, share. Like, this goes back to the mimetic sex thing that I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And how conversation, and good conversation, is bringing together ideas in a way to bring yourself to new ones.
Say that again.
If you're having a conversation, and a deep one, about something that matters, and you're, like, you're speaking to someone else, you are walking into new territory by bringing in their perspective to your core belief.
Yes. Creating something new.
Like, maybe it isn't something new. It's like, it's so, like, I hate using the word vulnerable because it's so fucking buzzwordy.
No, but it's true.
But it's true. Like, you're being vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And because it matters to you, and you just need someone else to, like, recognize that, maybe. I don't know. I'm losing track. I don't know too much about this because I don't talk about it very often.
You don't really talk about deep conversations, do you? Because you already...
No, I usually talk about, like, hey, how do I talk to strangers? How do I do that? And I'm pretty good at that, but then...
Well, okay. Let's take a step back then. So a lot of this, what we've been talking about, has been how to navigate all these different scenarios.
Scenarios, yeah. So how do you navigate a deep conversation?
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, this is not something you can overthink. This is a different skill set. I have noticed that when I have deep conversations, it stops becoming about head thinking and more about heart thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, which is honestly very terrifying. And when I'm having these conversations, I can almost feel a natural inclination of, like, what needs to be done. Do you feel that?
Yes. And a lot of the time, I mean, the only advice I could definitely give for deep, serious conversations is to, like, put the other person in such a place that you know, that they know that you trust them and that you respect them and that you're taking everything very seriously. And that you're there for them, you know?
The trust is so important.
It is, yeah.
Because that's the only... I think trust is the only way deep conversations happen.
Yeah. And alcohol.
Right, but alcohol removes the need for the trust.
That's true. I guess it just kind of leads to trust. But yeah, I mean, once you kind of get past that point... I guess my other piece of advice, which I keep coming back to, is, you know, if someone's, like, laying some heavy shit on you, like, they're not necessarily asking you for advice.
Yeah, they just need to, I don't even know what the purpose is, because I just know, like, not talking about stuff eats me alive, you know?
So,
like, if I have something that I need to talk about and I don't talk to anyone about it, I feel horrible.
Me too.
Yeah.
So there's nothing that you just, like... Do you have any lifelong secrets?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, like, is there anything really big that nobody in the entire world knows about you? I'm not going to ask you to say it, but do you think that there are things?
My gut says no, because I typically... like, it is incredibly tender in an act of, like, love and trust to share, like, your personal things. Not everyone can do it, for, like, depending on what they have. So I don't think I have anything, like, crazy that I could never tell anyone. Because I've told people, like, kind of the stuff that, like, bothers me the most, or, like, the things that I would keep secret. But it's an act of, like, me extending trust.
You are a very open person.
I've been through some shit.
It's refreshing.
Thank you.
More people could be like you.
Not everyone can.
Not everyone could, it's true. People could take steps to be more like you.
What makes you say that? Like, how, like, because I've met some pretty open people too, and people love it. When you are really open and upfront, it is, as you said, refreshing.
It's refreshing.
Because most of our interactions, like, sometimes people are cagey for whatever reason. And I know that so many people have the response that hearing someone be honest and open is always positive.
Yeah.
Always.
Unless you're finding out that they're a shitty person.
Right, but even, like, honestly, reading about people who totally own up to, like, how shitty they are, and they honestly are like, yeah, I'm fucking horrible, I'm aware of that, and I'm going to tell you some stuff that I kind of take joy in. People love that too, because they're like, wow, that's refreshing. You know you're a piece of shit. You're not pretending not to be.
You voted for Donald Trump.
False. I did not. On the record, I did not vote for Donald Trump.
Sorry.
I don't know how this came up.
I like hanging out with you because you don't, like, shut down any conversations. I think you're, like, genuinely interested in a lot of things. I don't know. Also, at the same time, you don't need to, like, have, like, a deep conversation to be having
Good conversation.
A meaningful, conversation.
Absolutely. Like, I'm not gonna have a deep conversation with, like, the barista down the street. Like maybe I will.
But not at the counter.
Not at the counter.
So question.
Yeah.
What exactly is the definition of a deep conversation then? Thinking about this. Is it something that you're just, like, intensely interested in? Or is it something that's, like, that makes you emotionally buzzword vulnerable?
Yeah. I'm thinking about sort of, like, the sacred and the profane. We have our day-to-day experiences. We have the conversations and scripts that we go through that are pretty, like, life function normal. And there are certain things that don't happen very often but matter a lot that are sacred. And
I like this.
Like, things that are sacred, like, are kind of core beliefs and core things. And so, like, you can't talk about it, like, sacred shit all the time, or else you will fall apart because you just wrench your core in every direction. And so the times that you feel safe enough to, like, share the core belief, that is a deep conversation. Whereas, like, I am trusted here. I know you're not going to wrench and mangle this thing that is very important to me.
So how does it come up then? Like, why? What leads someone to need to talk about something right then and there? Especially if it's something that you've been sitting on for, like, years.
Have you ever seen Before Sunrise?
I'm going to answer no to every single pop cultural reference you ever asked me.
Okay, so
I've seen The Matrix.
We need to watch Before Sunrise at some point.
Okay.
But it's basically Ethan Hawke meets girl on the train, and for the whole movie they just talk. They're strangers and they suddenly have deep conversations, and it's like long takes of just them walking and talking. It's incredible. But I've noticed that deep conversations happen with someone for some reason you have trust with. And sometimes you trust someone, strangers, because the way they talk is either like familiar, it's familiar with you in some way, either how you think or how someone you have known has thought. And so then the trust is created, and if it's mutual, you're going to have a deep conversation because you both feel safe sharing the core beliefs. You've created a safe environment.
That's so interesting. So you're saying that you can just meet someone. I mean, I've had
so many conversations
with strangers that got
hella deep.
A little bit, you know, you're like 30 minutes in, like, fuck.
And it's all about trust. Like, yeah. Oh my god. I don't like the therapy session. That's one sided, and that's when someone's talking at you and not listening, which is poor conversation.
That's what I do with strangers.
Which is sometimes fun because sometimes they
just... Like I'm the patient and they're the therapist.
Oh. Yeah.
But I think they like it. But they that's something that you just said was super interesting to me. That sometimes you meet someone, they remind you of someone else in like such a way that you're like so sure that this person is like, you don't like make a conscious decision to trust them.
Right, but you're like, you align with this type that I trust.
There are like, I can think of like three people in my life that I've met other people that reminded me of them. And even if it didn't like occur to me right away, later on I thought about it. I even bounced it off other people that also know, you know, this other friend of mine. I'm like, damn, super reminded me of, you know, like so and so. This happens with me and my brother. He's like, yeah, dude, that's why we hung out all night.
Yeah. And that's crazy. It's very strange. There's a quote in I'll Give You the Sun by Jandy Nelson. And she's like, meeting... And it, like, we're tapping into love here because love is very intimate. But meeting, like, the love of your life is like walking into a familiar house. Because you're like, holy shit. Like, this... I trust you. I know you. Do you agree with this?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. You, like, know where all the light switches are.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing.
Man.
So, it's, like, it's the moment when you're talking to someone and you're like, did we know each other in a past life? Have you had that moment?
Yes, although I don't really, like, believe in spirituality.
Right, but it helps give context to, like, why on earth do we click so well?
I have wondered that, because there are so many people that I have this, like, it's not, like, so many people, but there are a lot of people you just, like, vibe with super hard, and it's not, like, I don't know, I feel like we talk about this a lot, but for me, like, I don't need to have shared interests with someone to have, like, an amazing time with them every time that we hang out.
Yeah.
And
I think
that's
agree.
Not the way that most people think. Because it doesn't right, logically make sense,
it's,
really.
It super infuriates me when someone says, like, yeah, if you don't like Lord of the Rings or haven't seen Lord of the Rings, there's nothing we're going to talk
that's
about.
That's a red flag.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
That's where I draw the line.
And on those people, I wish that I hope that they meet the love of their life and that person
fucking hates Lord
of
the Rings.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I've told them this. And I was like, I hope someone comes into your life and you push them away not realizing that you've made a grave mistake.
But yeah, so getting back to what you were saying then, like, I mean, yeah, there must be something about these people that you meet that you just... there's, like, no explainable reason. I don't know if it's, like... It's not necessarily, like, their mannerisms or... I don't know, maybe you just, like, met each other while you were in, like, the perfect mood or something. I don't know. But there is something about, like, meeting people and just being able, like, to strike up a conversation, like, so effortlessly.
Because it feels magical.
And not, like you were saying, one of your run-in-the-mill, like, throwaway, like, I've had this conversation with 1,000 other people before.
Yeah, it feels real. That's good shit.
I've even met people and we'll be talking at a party and we both know that we're vibing really hard and the conversation will drift. This has happened like a couple times recently in like a direction of like we've both had this conversation. Like it's like easy, you know, like easy conversations.
Yeah.
Like things that you obviously agree on.
Yes.
And
yes.
You can just...
It's sort of like the hoops to get to the good stuff.
Yes. Which is a problem if you start off with the good stuff. But I've had moments where... We're talking it up, having a really good time, and then the conversation just kind of, like, drifts into this, you know, like, easy circle jerk, like, sort of topic. Yeah, and the other person was straight up like, no. Like, we're not doing this.
Yeah, and these...
And that's awesome.
That's recognizing a conversationally adept person. And so...
That person that I am talking about should be on this podcast running this shit.
I am okay with this podcast, like, running a little long today. We have, I would say, get 5 more minutes, maybe, of, like, takeaways. If someone listening wants to be better at conversation, what should they do?
Okay. I think it's one of the very first things we talked about, but identify why you're talking to the other person in the very first place. It doesn't need to be, like, a super clear and distinct, like, reason, but for a lot of the reasoning, or for a lot of the time, it's just that you're, like, kind of, like, playing with someone else. Don't go into a conversation with, like, super hard and clear defined rules and, like, and goals. Just know...
Go in dancing.
Yeah, you're dancing, you know? Go into it with, like, an open mind. Don't try to assert yourself too much. Now you chime in, because I'm running out of things.
I think thinking of it as a dance helps so much, because then you realize that, like, bad conversation's one-sided conversation. And so listening is just as important as contributing. And once you realize that, and that you take turns when you're having these conversations, that's going to carry you through the majority, is, like, having conversations and just paying attention to what is just pay attention to the person that you're talking to, because you're going to give and take cues of when to chime in and participate.
If you don't put in focus and effort, and if this is not someone that you care about, it will be extremely evident in how your conversation turns out. Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, just putting a little bit more care into it. When you're talking to someone else, like, actually act like you're talking to someone, not like you're off doing something else in your own world.
There's a video that I need to talk about.
Okay.
Have you heard of Nardwar the Human Serviette?
No.
He's fucking
dope. Should I turn on a light? It's kind of...
Yeah. And then we'll probably wrap up. Nardwar is a music journalist and a very eccentric one. He talks like this, and he's very enthusiastic, and
I want you to keep going.
Yeah, he's talking. So I'm going to show you this video, but there's one interview where he's interviewing Henry Rollins. Do you know who Henry Rollins is? I don't really know who he is either. But in this video, Henry Rollins, like, does not want to talk to Nardwar, because Henry Rollins is kind of like this cool guy.
Okay.
And Nardwar's like, I have so many questions for you. And he's like, oh, fuck. He tells him, he's like, I'm going to give you, like, one or three attempts. And he says, but I have so many. And so it looks like Henry Rollins is about to punch Nardwar. But Nardwar starts talking. He's like, I know that you reference this book inside one of your songs. Like, why is that? You have these tattoos, and, like, which ones would you get if you were going to continue? And just as he started talking, Henry Rollins realized that Nardwar had done so much research on him that, like, Nardwar wasn't the fucking idiot that he thought he was.
By the way that he talked and acted.
Yeah, because he kept on saying shit that he didn't expect. And so, like, there's also a point in conversation, is, like, I guess that's also a dance in also conveying, like, it's not over. It doesn't have to be over if you haven't explained yourself. I don't know. Maybe that's a bad, because that totally goes against, like, two willing participants. It's sales at that point.
I mean, maybe what you're saying is, like, always have an open mind, like,
yeah, because conversations can definitely, like, the definition, you don't know what's going on in the locked box.
No. Are you talking about them or yourself?
Oh, man, mine. There's, right now, you know, it's very funny. It's like, my girlfriend will ask me, what's going on? What are you thinking about? Like, does anyone ever ask you this?
Yeah.
I just want to know what you're thinking. No. And honestly, like, this is the truth. 80% of the time, it's a burrito. Like, 80%. And I'm just like, I just got to tell you, like, because I'm looking at the sunset and it's really nice. Just like, what are you thinking? I'm like, I'm thinking about a burrito right now.
Hunger driven. I mean, you're always just thinking about burritos.
I'm thinking about burritos constantly. I used to, like, at work.
Never stress.
I would laugh because I would think, I would imagine people's thought bubbles above their head. I was like, what's everyone thinking about? And if anyone was like, God, Connor looks really intense. What are you thinking about? It's just a fucking burrito.
Maybe two burritos.
Oh, even. No. I don't know. That's too much. That's so big.
There's only space for one burrito in this head.
Yeah. With that, I think we're good. Yeah? This has been season one of Talking About It. We got a little heavy, and I think that's how we wanted it to be.
It is. Maybe next season, let's go in reverse.
And go from deep to small talk?
Yeah.
Okay. Or we could bring in guests.
What?
Thank you for joining us. This is going to be on the internet, on SoundCloud, and hopefully there'll be album art.
There's going to be so much album art.
But thank you so much. We love you guys, and stay frosty,
my friends.
Dope. Whoo!
What? Why did it?
Why did it default to haha? Changed to.
Did you def?
No.
Can you do that?
No. That would be absurd. Are we still recording? Here we are.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.